Welcome back to You've Got Cocktail. I'm Emily.
And I'm Elsa.
And today's a fun show. Mm-hmm. Elsa's with us.
I'm back.
With
yes.
us.
With us. She's us back. Too.
Love when my fearless co-host is with me.
I know. I got, you know, some time away from the school. Not the kids. The school.
Ooh, love it.
Yes.
Yes, welcome back. Today we're chatting about one of our favorites.
Yes, definitely. I'm
not without
about this.
Its flaws, which we'll get into.
As usual.
And I think, as is the case with a lot of the films we've discussed,
we loved them,
and then we watch them and think about them critically.
Yeah.
And we realize, you know, we probably saw it back then, but we
were younger, less, you know, informed
mm-hmm, less
about
informed.
The world.
And now we're able to kind of make a better critical analysis of it.
Right, right, which is good.
Which is good. So today we are chatting about 2009's The Proposal.
Right, The Proposal.
Which a lot of people love.
Yeah, it's a super fun one.
It's super fun. Again, not without its flaws.
Yes.
And today for our cocktail.
Oh, yes.
We are...
Our crazy cocktail.
We're crazy, per usual. This has happened a few times.
Yes.
But we're drinking...
Good old iced... Well, lattes, basically.
Caffeine. I'm having an iced latte and Elsa's having a matcha latte.
Yes.
We're feeling the need for it.
Yes.
Okay?
We
Sunday
need that.
Sunday morning.
Yeah.
We're kind of... We're steeling ourselves for...
A week ahead.
A
long week
work
ahead.
And school, in
yes.
this case. And, you know, just navigating this fucked up world.
And I'm sure you all get it.
You guys, get it.
You know us.
You know us. You know us well.
But yes, we're going to drink some caffeine and get into this movie.
The Proposal. So this came out 10 years ago now. So
that's right. Yeah,
I remember seeing this in theaters back home.
I think
we definitely went and saw it.
I must have.
Well, that's all we did.
True.
As teenagers, Elsa.
Yeah, we only
didn't
went to
go
the
to parties. We went to the movies. We would go see movies multiple times in
yes,
theaters.
Yes.
So we'd go to Schnucks. If you're not familiar,
yeah.
Schnucks is a grocery.
Shout out to
Schnucks. Schnucks is a grocery store and
local chain.
I don't know where else it would be. It's in Missouri, but
yeah,
it could be other places.
It could be. But
you tell us. Sound off.
Definitely Missouri, though.
Definitely Missouri. And it's kind of just, like, our hometown. It was the grocery store right by our houses.
Yes.
And they have, like, really cheap cookies. And really good fried chicken.
Oh, yeah.
I
used to get those all the time.
So we would, like, bring in mozzarella sticks and chicken. And I one time brought an apple. I don't know.
I brought in, what are they called? Egg rolls one day?
Oh, yeah. She brought in egg rolls. I brought
like
in chicken fingers.
Meal.
We do this. We'll do the 1-2 punch of... Schnucks to get like cookies and you know meat some kind like
or deli or whatever.
And then we'd hit up the fast lane or was it a fast lane? I don't know. The
oh like self checkout or
no,
like 15 items or less lane.
No,
what are you talking about?
Fast lane, the gas station store.
Oh, I thought it was the quick stop.
It was. I don't know what it was called.
Whatever.
It doesn't matter.
Quick trip.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, break time.
Break time.
Having an argument about the gas station.
Anyway, we'd hit up the break time next, and we'd
yes.
get the candy.
Right, candy for the movie.
We get some
yeah.
sour. We get a chocolate. Elsa would go for the chocolate typically, and I would get the sour.
That's
chewies.
True. Yeah, we had our things.
Oh my gosh.
Do you remember that time though? We brought in Sonic drinks.
Oh, that was great. I brought a Route 44.
Yeah, but there was another time where the bottom of my styrofoam cup. I was hiding it in the sleeve of my coat.
Oh no!
That's really weird. The bottom just fell out, and my slushy got all over the floor. So
it's
fine. So much
we
for hiding your food in the theater.
We ended up just switching spots.
Yeah,
because we're bad girls. We're so bad.
Yeah. Well, and the great thing about that theater was they didn't really care as much.
No, they
it was
didn't
the
really
other
care.
One that
yeah, Hollywood, which
wouldn't.
Sucked.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't like each other as much.
Okay, we're quickly getting into
anyway.
About the movie theaters in our hometown. So anyway.
Anyway,
long story short, we would go to movies multiple times.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure we saw this once or twice because we're so like, oh my
yeah.
god.
Or I saw it with you and with my mom. I'm
yeah,
sure.
We were enamored with
mom
it. So, this, like I said, came out in 2009. So we're like 15 when this came out.
Right. The main stars are
Sandy Bullock, Ryan Reynolds. Betty White?
Yes, Betty
this was,
White.
Like, the reemergence of Betty White movie.
That's true.
So you
yeah.
know how Betty White she's always been amazing. She's been on a bunch of shows, obviously, in history, but more recently she's been in pop culture an aggressive amount.
Yeah.
And that I'm pretty sure all started with The Proposal because she played such a big role in it. And
super hilarious.
She was like a big part of the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think before this she hadn't really been in anything. I guess the last show she had been in was she did like a small stint on The Bold and the Beautiful.
Oh, okay.
She was in like a few random episodes of other shows. And then after that she got her own TV show.
Hot
in Cleveland. She started hosting some random like that Betty White's Off Their Rockers.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like, old people would prank young people. Mm-hmm. And then she hosts other things. Yeah, so Betty White, who is 90-fucking-7.
Currently?
Yes, her middle name is...
Wow.
Her middle name is 90-fucking-7. Betty 90-fucking-7 White.
Wow.
Because that's insanity.
She's awesome. She's still so...
She's prolific.
I know.
And talented. I love her. Okay, so anyway, we got Betty White, Mary Steenburgen.
Oh, yes. She's so
freaking
funny.
Freaking love. I love her so much. And then Craig T. Nelson. And then we got Malin Ackerman's also in there.
Okay.
Those are, like, the main players.
Right, most of these are on Ryan Reynolds' family.
Yeah. And this was directed by Anne Fletcher. Mm-hmm. So a female director. She also directed Step Up. And 27 Dresses.
Oh, yeah.
And then more recently, The Guilt Trip, Hot Pursuit, and Dumplin'.
Oh, Dumplin'. I never saw it.
I didn't see that.
Interesting.
And she's also a choreographer, hence the...
That makes a lot of sense.
So this
is
her...
I
do, too. I like Step Up.
No guilt about
it's sad now because they're not together anymore.
I know, that
which
is
makes
sad.
It a little more painful to watch, but whatever.
But it was fun at the time.
It was fun at the time, yeah. So anyway, this... ended up being, like, wildly successful. The actually development of the film became was started in 2005 when Peter Carelli, I think that's how you say it, wrote it. And they filmed it in 2008. And kind of mixed reviews.
Yeah. Yeah, we were looking at...
Rotten Tomatoes had 44% of Rotten Tomatoes. The screenplay got a little criticism. Sorry, Peter Carelli. But the chemistry between Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds was super...
Right.
I think that's why I like it
I think
so that's
much.
Why it's redeeming.
Right.
I think if we had a different pairing or a different man or woman lead...
Right,
then this
it might
been,
not have...
Yeah.
Like,
And it actually was a huge success in the box office. I'm sure everyone has seen it.
Right, it was.
$317 million, which is crazy. It's the 20th highest grossing film in 2009.
Whoa,
so
okay.
It's pretty good.
Top 20.
Stop 20! and Sandra Bullock was actually nominated for a Golden Globe Award. Best Actress. Yes, motion picture or comedy. A Golden Globe.
Oh, okay. But still.
It's the fake award.
That's kind of funny.
And yes, I am reading off the Wikipedia page. So suck it.
Yeah.
I wanted you guys
to... We're keeping you informed.
And
we're learning, too.
We're learning about film. So we've got Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds, which is actually, like, a pretty fun pairing.
I know. And it wasn't one that I was really expecting, to be honest. I mean, Sandra Bullock has been doing, a lot of stuff, and she, Miss Congeniality, and,
she's 54.
Speed,
she's
Ryan,
been...
like, what was he doing before this?
So, 2009, Ryan
he was in Blade, did you know that, one of the Blades, Blade 2 or 3.
Was he really?
Yeah. He was,
super
young.
He was in the Wolverine Origins.
Right.
Well,
yeah.
It was Deadpool.
Yeah. So, he was doing...
Okay, yeah, it was Blade
kind of
Trinity.
Like side roles. Yeah, the third one. Yeah.
Oh, I guess
he was
his most famous role the most famous roles prior to this were Just Friends.
Oh.
Definitely Maybe, which we're definitely
going
to do an episode on.
I haven't seen that yet.
What?
I know.
And then he was also, in 2009, he had 4 films.
So that's,
yeah.
I feel like this was his year where he suddenly was like.
Yeah, so in 2009, Adventureland, X-Men Origins Wolverine, Proposal, and Paper Man came out. And then, of course, he's Ryan Reynolds, so...
Yeah. One in Blade, oh my god, he just plays like himself.
Yeah, he's
pretty hilarious.
He's great. So anyway, let's get into it. I think since everybody's seen this, we won't, go, crazy into detail, but let's kind of set up what some of the problems and some of the things we immediately noticed about this movie.
Right.
So...
Right. Well, so just to get us started, we kind of see, they're opposites a little bit in a way. Kind of, type A, type B. B-ish personalities.
So Sandra Bullock, she plays Margaret Tate.
Yes.
She's Canadian.
Right.
She's the editor-in-chief of a New York book publishing
company. New York City,
yeah. And he...
is her executive...
Executive assistant. Yes. So Ryan Reynolds is Andrew Paxton, who's her assistant, and his goal is to become an editor.
Right.
And he thinks, like, you know, sticking out with one of the most successful executive editors might get him there. Right. So he's been her assistant for about 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we learn that, like, people don't like her.
Right. Oh my god. As soon as she walks in the office.
Very similar to, like, Miranda Priestley in The Worst Prada.
Yeah, yeah.
Where, you know, she's coming.
And
like,
people are, like, terrified.
Oh, my God.
Or, like,
she's
hiding or
demon.
Like,
yeah.
They're working.
Yeah.
Like, why
so,
are
like,
you working?
Like, right? So when we see kind of the morning routine of both of them.
Right.
Again, super trope of these movies.
Kind
also,
like opposites.
Yeah. Where he's, like, running to get ready. He orders the coffee for her. He runs upstairs. She's like really late. Everyone around at the office is kind of, you know, morning time, just kind of settling in.
Right, right.
Makes
but they're
sense.
Messaging each other, calling her really kind of mean names.
No, yeah. So they're like starting out, like not really doing anything in the morning. And then, so we see Margaret's morning routine. You know, she works out. She's doing work the entire time. She's a bowl of cereal.
She's super put together.
Mm-hmm. She comes to work. She's on the phone, you know, and, when she gets to the office, you know, immediately everybody's demeanor changes. You know, people like hide against the wall. They start like doing work.
She's
oh my god, I'm sorry that you need to do work at
I
your
know,
workplace.
At your
weird. Yeah. So, and then Andrew says like, "It's here."
Right. Right.
Yeah, they call her it. You
and
know,
the
witch is
in
her
room.
You know, all this kind of stuff. And
but that this is where we notice like it's that thing where like she's. You know,
she's a powerful,
powerful woman. She's a boss.
She's a boss, a huge editor.
Yeah.
And she gets people to do, you know, she's really good at her job immediately.
Really
there's an author that they work with who's super, you know, successful, who doesn't ever do, like, press for his stuff.
Yeah.
And she convinces him to do Oprah.
Yeah,
which
is which
huge. Is huge.
Yeah.
And she ends up firing another editor who's under her. Because he didn't get this author to do
press.
He
didn't even attempt.
He didn't even attempt.
Yeah.
And so she fires him and actually is super generous.
That's
and
right.
Says, like,
that's totally right.
I'll give you 2 months to find a new job and then you could say that you resigned, which
right.
I think is super generous.
Yeah, on your resume, you don't have to say it.
Yeah,
know.
You don't have to ruin it. You get paid for 2 more months.
Yeah.
You know, all of these things.
But of course, he can't accept that.
No, because she's. A bitch. Apparently.
Yeah, a woman? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what... Because she's success... I don't know. You know,
yeah.
It's that whole thing. And so he... In front of everybody, he runs out of his office and calls her a poisonous bitch.
Yeah.
And
super harsh.
Super harsh. And just, you know, everyone in the office is like, oh,
yeah,
she is a bitch.
Yeah.
La, la, la. So, yeah, that's kind of the setup where we see that, oh, she's terrible. She's
right.
a huge bee.
Right.
Like, whoa, no, she's just successful. I'm so sorry. Like, weird. Yeah, so she's kind of like, she leaves a trail of careers in her wake. You know,
yeah.
She's like Jaws. She's like a shark. And,
right.
you know, there's a bloody trail of dudes.
I guess so.
Yeah.
But she's trying to make it, you know?
Well, she's incredibly successful. And we see, we know that she's successful, not
right.
only because of, like, what she's been doing, but immediately after this exchange, she gets called into, like, the, like, I guess the owners of the
Right,
company.
Right, her bosses, basically.
And, this is where the whole...
Oh, well, right. The kind of catalyst for
this
movie,
whole
like,
movie
what,
is, which is...
Going, which is where she is supposed to be deported.
Yeah.
So, this is where we actually find out she's Canadian. Her bosses are like...
You didn't fill out, like, the paper.
Yeah,
like,
that was right.
You ended up... Yeah, you ended up, again, showing that she's really good at her job. She ended up going to Russia to, like, get an author or something. I don't know. I don't
right,
remember
right.
the exact situation, but she was just going... forward with, like, really pushing it, even though she wasn't supposed to do that. Right. So that has led her to being, like, potentially deported.
Right, right.
And, you know, her bosses are like, we don't want you to leave. Like, right. You need to stay. You're amazing.
But we have no other, there's no other option. Like, and you'd have to be gone for a year at least.
And she can't work for an American company.
Right, yeah. She can't work.
Or else they would, like, totally, yeah. So, this is when the moment happens.
Right.
The trope of all tropes.
Yes. So Andrew comes in. He's supposed to kind of do this thing where he, like, rescues her from them.
Mm-hmm.
But then she calls him into the room instead. She gets a little idea.
Yeah, she makes a kind of a dumb decision.
Yeah, super dumb. Like.
And she kind of demands that Andrew marry her.
Yes. She announces to the bosses that they're getting married.
Yeah. She's like, actually, we're getting married. Yep. So
no worries there.
She gets a little green fraud. Green fraud? Green card.
She's committing fraud.
But she's trying to get her green card. Yeah.
And Andrew's like, can you let me
He's like, what the fuck? Yeah.
But yeah, so she's like, you have to marry me, but I will,
No, she's like, you marry me, it's fine, like, no big deal. And right. He's like, wait, whoa,
yeah,
what?
Yeah, like, I need to get something else out of this, too.
Yeah, so they hit up the immigration office.
Right, yes.
And they tell the immigration officer, who's like a little sniveling fucker.
I know, he's sitting up.
That, like, oh, we're getting married, and he's all intense. He's like, well, if I find out, you know, you could go to jail.
Yeah,
and so that freaks Andrew out, understandably.
Well, yeah, like, he would go to jail for, like, what was it, 25 years or something?
Yeah, like, for 10 years. So,
he's like, if we're gonna do something this, like, high stakes, I gotta get something,
too. And he's gotta get something in return. So he kind of, demands that he get a promotion.
Right.
And that she publishes a manuscript.
That's right.
That
he's
picked out.
So
she kind of agrees. But here's a first example of kind of a
like showing his dominance over her.
The power that Andrew now has, like, the tables have turned.
Yes, really quickly. Immediately. Like, it was weird.
Like, Margaret was this powerful woman with all of the, you know, she held the cards.
Right.
And, yeah, he was under her. Like, he was her assistant. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
But now, you know, he is in a position of power because it all depends. He's the American. Like, it all depends on him going along with this, him doing this.
Right.
And so, he kind of has this, like, righteous power over her.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can see this in the way that he forces her to get on her knees.
And he immediately starts kind of insulting her, which he'd never done, you know.
Well, like, I'm sure he had, but not outright.
Sorry, not to her.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like,
not
he
outright.
Was doing it on the instant message.
Yeah, the witches on a broom.
And to his family.
Yeah, he's like, you heard me, get on your knee.
Yeah.
And just, like,
and kind propose of, to me.
Yeah, he's just, you know, he kind of positions himself now,
Above her.
And he's kind of without fault, you know, like, he's going along with this because she needs it. Right. And now this movie is kind of about her punishment, you know what I mean? So, like, she has to transform. We know there's going to be a Transformer.
Right.
Transformers. We know there's going to be a transformation in this movie because it's a rom-com.
Right,
so we know that, like,
you
Margaret.
Know, and it's a trope that's been done, too, like, a love-hate kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and, like, you know, position of power.
Totally
it's not, and that's not a bad thing. Like,
right.
We were saying that we like a trope. You know, there's a reason they're tropes. There's a reason that they exist. It's because they're successful. But in this case, I feel like it is a little more formulaic.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because we're clicking all of the boxes.
Right. But anyway, so now, in order to make this seem a little more real, and she's got to learn more about him, because as her assistant, he knows everything about her.
So there's, like, a huge questionnaire.
Yeah.
He knows all the answers to the questions within it. Mm-hmm. She doesn't know anything because, you know, she's a bitch and didn't take any time to learn anything.
Always calls her, like, emotionally
emotionally unavailable or something. I don't know, So they decide to head to his hometown.
Right.
Sitka, Alaska.
Because it's Danny's 90th birthday.
Gam Gam! Annie.
Yeah, Grandma
Annie. Where Betty White comes in. So it's his birthday.
It's her birthday.
It's her birthday.
But he hasn't been home in 3 years.
Three years.
The whole time he's been working for her, he's been telling his family how horrible she is.
Yeah.
He can't get away from work.
Yeah.
All this stuff. So again, we see still that, like, I mean, he's basically hated her this whole time.
And, like, you know, part of the reason that he hasn't been home in 3 years is because we find out.
Well, right, it's not all on her.
It's not all on Margaret, even though, like, the movie positions it's like, oh, she's never let me do anything. Right. Which I don't fully buy.
I know.
I get having a crazy, I don't know, I just don't fully buy it. There had to have been a moment when she was, it was a holiday and they're not working. Right. I don't know.
I know.
Well, yeah. I guess it's a far journey from New York City to Alaska. So, they head to Sitka.
Right.
And now,
Oh, right. She's kind of starting to see what his life is like there.
She learns that, like, oh, shit, his family is actually
That's right. They own, like, several businesses within.
Yeah. My favorite shit ever is, like, once they get to the family house.
Oh, yeah.
Which is huge and
so beautiful, yeah.
Gorgeous.
So nice.
She goes, you didn't tell me you're rich. Yeah. And he goes, I'm not rich, my parents are. And she goes, that's something that only rich people say. It's like, it's true.
Yeah, that's true. That's
it's like when really you watch, like, sometimes when I watch, like, YouTubers and, you know, they do, like, those Q&A sessions, and they're like, a question's asked, like, oh, like, or the assumption videos or whatever.
Right, right.
And yeah, like, I assume you come from a rich family. And every single one, even when they definitely come from a rich family, are like, no, like, actually, my family, like, we were just pretty middle class, and, you know, I'm not rich. Just I'm like, bitch,
come on. You, like, gotta start somewhere.
Yeah, come on now.
Yeah, so that was a funny line, actually.
I like that a lot. Yeah, so they're in Alaska, and we're kind of
she's meeting the family,
she's meeting his mom.
She's clearly a bit uncomfortable, because not only has she not experienced anything like Alaska, I'm assuming she's a pretty hardcore city person, you know.
She also, both of her parents died when she was 16.
Oh, that's right,
so
yeah.
So she's been without a family for, like,
more than
20 years, probably.
Yeah.
But
his family is actually very welcoming, except, again, his father seems to be one of the reasons why he doesn't come back, and one of the reasons why, I guess, he probably has these sort of, like, not necessarily self-esteem issues, but there's just some tension.
Yeah, exactly.
His father wants him to take over the family business instead. He thinks what he's doing in New York City is not not real work, basically. And that the fact that he's an assistant, here's some more, like, kind of gender role stuff. The fact that he's an assistant is, like, not manly.
Exactly.
And, yeah.
Exactly.
It's that, I don't know.
And that's a big, you know, crux of this movie is the transformation, like we said.
Right.
Of Margaret from being this cold, poisonous bitch.
Right.
To being sensitive, like, discovering her feelings, you know, being, you know, like, having to be punished to show that she has a heart, like, showing her crying, you know what I mean? And then Andrew, on the other hand.
It's more like he has to prove himself as a man.
As successful. Like, at the beginning, he's kind of, like, a little, like, excuse this term, but, like, a bitch boy. That's not
Yeah.
You know, it's not, like, what I think of it. It's just, that's the only thing I, you know what
right.
I
mean? Yeah, I know what you mean.
I was like, what else? How
an underling. I don't know. Like, he's a little,
underling, yeah. Yeah. I don't know, like, lower than low, some sort of thing. So, he starts out in that way.
Yeah.
And the movie positions him throughout it into a successful role, a more manly role.
Right.
So where he is, you know, with a woman, and he's now an editor, and he's da-da-da, and he, da-da-da, he's like, without fault, he's moving up in a really,
Right.
Yeah, so.
And I feel like he even uses Margaret as another way to get back at his dad, though.
Oh, yeah.
Because he keeps, like, he's the one who ends up announcing the proposal, of course, or the engagement, and he's like, yeah, dad, like, I love her, like, can you believe that? You know, just, like, he's like, I don't know, the way he, like, says these things to his father, you know, I think he's just trying to prove to his father a lot of different things about himself, like, that he's making it, that he can do this, and he can be successful in New York City. Then he wants to choose his own path, which is, you know, that's legit, I guess, is, you know, he shouldn't have to follow what his father says.
Exactly.
But again, it is still this weird thing about, like, being a man and being a woman.
I don't know. So, like, he is essentially the source of her change.
Right.
And she's not the source of his change, you know what I mean?
Not
like,
really,
it puts all the power in him, and her process to getting to be, like, this more acceptable version of a woman involves a lot of shit she's not comfortable with.
That's true,
clearly not comfortable with. It does take her out of her comfort zone, and I think there's something to be said for getting you out of your comfort zone to experience things, but it seems like it's just all of these things for the sake of, like, humiliating her.
Right, yeah.
So, they throw an engagement, kind of, like, bachelorette thing at a local bar, and the local stripper, you know, dances up on her, and she just doesn't like it, clearly.
And
she hates it, you know. His grandma makes her participate in a ritual.
That's right.
So, what her grandmother is...
She's a descendant of... What did she say? Her great-grandmother was a Russian who married...
Mm-hmm.
One of the Native American tribes?
Right? Yes, I believe so.
So she believes in, like, their, I don't know, I guess spiritual.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What do you call it? Rituals. Yeah. She, like, you know, those kind of things. And so she, she makes her participate in that.
Yeah, and there's just, like, a lot of moments where it's like, she's...
When they're in their family, like, they hug her a lot, you know, she's not used to, like, which is really sad, she's not used to, like, the love and, like, all this family.
She's not super comfortable, she doesn't show her emotions, she doesn't cry that much. So that's kind of a big part of this movie that, you know, I did not notice for a long time.
Right, not at all.
Not at all, we were just like, oh, that's funny!
Right, oh, that's sweet, yes.
And then... You know, we still laugh, we still have fun, because there are genuinely, like, sweet, funny moments.
Right, and again, they have really good chemistry.
The chemistry is really good.
But it is kind of forced. It's a good, this happens over, like, a weekend,
you know? This is a weekend, yeah, exactly.
It's a lot at once, and, you know, she is kind of forced to open up, and there's that moment between her and Andrew, he's laying on the floor, and she quietly kind of tells him about some things, you know, about herself. Because she's trying to get to know him, but he still won't really open up.
Yeah.
He's like, don't talk to me about my father, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, leave it, you know, I don't want to.
And so there are those, like, sweet, quiet moments where they're actually, you know, alone and, like, learning about each other and connecting. And one of the sweetest moments, I think, is when they decide to, in a kind of a peace offering, because his dad and him have been fighting a lot, and his mom is clearly really upset about it. You know, she's like... Our son hasn't been home in 3 years, you know, God forbid him and Margaret have children, and, like, we never get to
be
a part of their life, so she says, like, you need to fix this, like, now, and, kind of something they come up with is, like, why don't you get married here this weekend in the barn, like, you know.
Right, because we're already all here,
this could be great, and so they kind of go along with it, and so one sweet moment that ends up happening is they are in... a dress shop. So his grandma is a tailor.
Right.
And, you know, she says, you should wear my old wedding dress. And, you know, they had this sweet moment of fitting her in the wedding dress, pass on a piece of jewelry, and Margaret, you know, her parents passed away.
Yeah.
She hasn't had this kind of moment in a while.
Yeah.
And so she does, she ends up crying, and she kind of connects.
She gets a little overwhelmed, because she now is really starting to realize, like, oh my God, like, we're lying to all these, you know, wonderful people. And I think she's a little torn about what to do.
Yeah, because she ends up, you know, now she's showing her emotions and, you know, feeling this. This is not just a transaction anymore.
Right.
This is more serious.
Like, yeah.
That's true. So, this is kind of where we're at. Where there's a lot of different things going on. Where, you know, Margaret's kind of transforming.
Yeah.
Andrew is not really transforming.
No, I guess, he really doesn't.
He's really not. If he does, it's very subtle.
Right.
And what I do like is, like, the family dynamic. It's nice to see, you know, her being accepted. And there's some... You know, good moments of, what niceness there.
Yeah. But you mentioned that his ex-girlfriend's around the whole time, too.
Yeah, she's Jay chilling.
Yeah, but she was a very, very...
She's very nice.
Nice.
Very,
like, supportive role. Yeah,
exactly.
Both of them. She kind of talks to both of them.
Yeah, exactly. So sweet. There's some sweet moments, you know. Yes. Yeah. So, this is the whole plot. Yeah. It's this shit that you can see from a mile away.
Yeah. Ultimately, that, like, yes.
Guess what the fuck's gonna happen? There's really moments. Some moments.
Yeah.
So they're in Sitka. They're getting ready for this wedding. You know, Andrew and Margaret are becoming closer. They've always had a relationship, but they're now becoming, like, closer. And we kind of see moments of them realizing that.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of, like, subtle touches.
They have a naked moment.
That's right. That was pretty funny, actually.
They're just naked and
smashing each other, and she's freaking out. And
great.
Yeah,
super silly. I'm sure it was fun to film.
Yeah, oh my god.
Like, how do you do that?
I know.
I really...
Well, they both have great bodies, so...
Oh, god, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that makes it easier.
Probably easier.
I am always... I love learning about how those kind of scenes get made.
Oh, yes. Because
it's interesting.
It is interesting, actually.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they're...
Nude.
From what we can tell. Little patches.
Probably, yeah. We clearly work in the film industry.
Here.
I don't know. I know in some where you don't even see the bottom, they might be wearing, like, nude stuff. But this is, like, they were both fully naked. So.
Yeah, they were.
I don't know, maybe they were naked. They were confident, and they just did it.
Okay.
Or there were some coverings. We have no idea.
We have no idea. Please educate us.
Please inform us if you...
Yeah.
You know, if you know about these things.
Yeah.
Let
us know.
Anyway.
Any detail? Who here works in film and wants to tell us? Yeah. So, anyway.
So, that was funny. You know, there's those subtle moments. There's a moment on the boat, you know, where he comforts her. Mm-hmm. He falls in the lake. I mean, the ocean.
In the ocean. She doesn't know how to swim.
Yeah.
Sweet. And she's getting really upset as the weekend goes on because she's realizing these are really good people. You know, it's more than just a transaction for me.
I could be ruining lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's kind of having this internal struggle between, like, should I continue or should I, you know.
Right.
She basically tells him, she ends up telling him, like, I don't want to do this. She sees him interacting with Gertrude, and she is like, well, you know, he should just be there. Like, why is...
Right.
He shouldn't be.
But he wants... But the thing is, yeah, I think she doesn't think, like, well, he does want to be in New York, and he actually clearly is falling in love with her. Because I feel like on the day of the wedding, he looks, like, ready. Like, he's like, yeah. I feel like he actually was up there...
He was ready.
Totally ready to get married.
Exactly.
Where she was just having more conflicting feelings.
Oh, and to make matters even more complicated, the immigration officer.
Oh, right. The dad flies in the immigration
He somehow gets a call? I don't remember.
Yeah, he gets a call from the immigration dude, and so he flies him down.
Yeah, the dad flies the immigration
and
officer.
And so Andrew gets really pissed off, obviously.
Yeah, he's like, what is wrong with you? I'm marrying this woman. I love her. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. But, you know, Margaret's like, we shouldn't do this.
Right,
like,
so the last possible moment.
They're on the altar, they're in the barn, it's beautiful.
She announces to the whole crowd that this was all
for her green card, and that he's great.
Right, it's all
and that your family's great, your son is amazing, all this shit, and, you know, everybody is clearly upset.
Right.
And so she leaves. And she tells the officer, the immigration officer, and he's like, okay, like, you have 24 hours
and you need to go.
So she returns home to the Paxton house in Sitka to pack everything up. And Andrew's like, what the fuck? And
yeah.
So he runs after her, upset, of course. Yeah.
She leaves him a really nice note.
The manuscript. And Gertrude comes by and is like, are you okay? And then kind of leads and says, like, are you going to go after her?
Right.
You know,
there's
a nice moment of, like, there's not another person other than the fucking guy. What's his name?
What guy? Oh, the guy officer. Who does everything?
Mr. Gilbertson.
Is the officer?
The immigration
officer. Oh, yeah.
So, other than that, there's not anything, like, holding him back.
Right.
Like, another person, which I like.
Yeah, I do like that, actually, yeah.
Yeah. So, he kind of is like, yeah, I'm going to get her. It turns classic. Into
a sort of an airport moment.
We got a little different version of that airport run after.
Yeah.
So he rushes after her and ends up having, like, a really intense argument with his dad about, like, going after her and just, like, everything. Right. And so his grandmother fakes a heart attack.
Yeah, to get one of those emergency planes. That would be literally the fastest route.
Yeah, because we're in freaking Alaska.
So funny.
And basically convinces them to reconcile.
Settle their differences.
Don't do this. Like, love each other. Like, make an effort. Yeah. And then, like, pretends to pass away.
I know.
She was faking it the whole time.
I know. It's
little
funny.
Shit.
I know.
And she's like, this is the only way I could get you guys to, like, shut up.
Yeah.
And, and so Andrew's parents are kind of like, oh.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Right.
And they're all kind of having a realization moment.
Right.
Where they realize that Andrew loves her.
Yeah.
And he needs to go after her.
For real.
So what he does when he's unsuccessful in stopping their plane from taking off, I feel like that would be a major national emergency.
Definitely.
he goes back to New York, and she's packing up her office.
Right.
And he tells her he loves her in front of everybody.
And he proposes to her, right? Oh,
yeah.
It was kind of cute. He was like, marry me so I can date you, or something like that.
Yeah.
It was kind of cute.
But the worst moment about this end is, like,
cute.
Yeah. So, like, she's rambling and talking, and he yells, like, Margaret, stop talking.
Yeah.
And then his coworkers yell, like, show her who's they kiss, and her coworkers... show her who's boss, Andrew. I'm like, oh, Jesus
Christ. That was, kind of
like,
ruined the moment.
All that ruined the moment. She, like, giggles. I'm like, ew, no. She's the fucking boss.
Yeah,
like,
she's still been the boss.
She's the, so annoying. And so now, like, she's way more redeemable because Andrew's love has made her
a true woman.
A true woman.
She's
and less
a true woman now.
Like,
and he's like a boss man.
Yeah. Less of a bitch.
Yeah.
So he proposes so that they can date.
Right.
And she says yes. And then the film ends with some...
kind of, like, immigration questions. But it's kind of, like,
what
comedic,
a fun time.
Right?
Immigration
questions.
Back in 2009.
I know.
The movie about immigration. Great.
Yeah. It's Canada.
Yeah, Canada. Great. But it's, like, horrible moments of them, like, deporting, clearly.
Well, yeah.
Hispanic people in the background.
I know.
It's like, oh, okay, so that's
right, like, she's one of the privileged
few,
honestly.
Yeah. That's the proposal.
Yeah. The proposal did happen.
It happened. They proposed. There was some moments. There were some things that happened.
Again, as we watch this later on in our lives, we can tell, the issues that were there. It was still pretty fun. But, yeah.
They were, like, the redeeming part of it, the two of them. Their chemistry and...
together.
Yeah.
The family. Again, a lot of the people, made it more entertaining.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But
he didn't really go through a transformation.
Mm-hmm.
She had to. And...
yeah. It was a recycling of a plot.
Yeah, and she even still was, like, kind of reluctant when he was proposing. I don't know, it seemed like he was all in, and she was kind of, like, overwhelmed.
Yeah, so that's a proposal.
So that's great.
I feel like we're ending this on a very, like, we don't know 100% how we feel about
it. Right, tell us how you feel.
Tell us how you feel, because we're not convinced that, we know it's not great. We know there's a lot of not great moments. So I'm struck between being, like, super into it, super not into it,
right.
So it's,
Yeah.
It's a good little dynamic. And Luke agrees.
Yeah, he agrees.
He agrees.
He's protected us.
So I hope you guys enjoyed this episode.
Yeah.
A little short boy.
Yeah.
Today. make sure to give us some feedback about your thoughts on this this movie, because we are still, maybe we'll do a follow-up, Luke. Maybe we'll do a follow-up with, more thoughts on it, because we're still, we maybe need to watch a few times, do a little more research about it, but feel free to email us at
all of our list of things, Instagram,
Facebook. Okay, so you can email us at you've got cocktail@gmail.com. Instagram is You've Got Cocktail. Facebook is You've Got Cocktail. You can call me at... Just kidding.
We're on iTunes,
on Spotify, and Stitcher. So if you need to listen, there are many ways.
Yes.
Hope you guys enjoyed, and thanks so much for listening.
Yes. Bye! Bye.